Welcome to the Almost Reckless podcast. I'm your host, Amy Smilovic, and my guest today is Yasmin Demirci, founder and owner of The Store by Schneeweis. Yasmin, I wanted to talk to you today because you've had an interesting route to get to where you are. So you have a beautiful specialty store. It's in the middle of Vienna, Austria. How long have you had your store?
It's now 17 years. 17, yes.
That's a really long time.
It is.
In our industry. You are completely independently owned, is that right?
I am independently owned, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not have any fashion background. Yeah.
Okay.
Not at all.
So, and that's so interesting because I think that over and over we keep debunking the idea, not that you have to have a fashion background to do something in fashion, but just debunking the idea that there is this exact set of steps that you're supposed to take before you do something and you can be preordained like the person who can open a store. So tell me, what did you do before opening Schneeweis?
I mean, actually, I was studying economics, yeah, mm-hmm. and I was working as a controller
mm-hmm. in the,
for a big German company,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and I was responsible for the Asian market,
yeah,
for the sales after, yeah, sales market,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
what did that? So what in that past day to day is carried forward in what you do now?
I mean, what is really like what helps me a lot is like this economics background and this controlling background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this is something which is really important in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course we are handling this fashion and it's everything is beautiful and we have all these beautiful clothes and collections, but of course you have to run a business.
Yeah,
and if you don't understand like what is behind, yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah, and this is something which is key for my business. Yeah.
Are there times when your financial approach, your financial background, are there times when you felt like it hindered you? Did it ever make you play it more safe? Any regrets from that? Or
no, actually, it was the other way around,
mm-hmm.
which was funny. Yeah. But no, never. I never experienced like having this financial background. And that was like kind of, you know, making me this not going into taking some risk or
mm-hmm.
anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at all, I have to say. Yeah.
So when you took risks, was it more around like, did you set boundaries for how far you could take something financially? Or
actually that was the point where I made my mistake. Yeah. Once in my lifetime.
Uh-huh.
And I would never do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. Yes.
Yeah?
So,
yeah.
And that's why I'm saying it's always very important to have both sides. So of course it's nice to have this fashion industry and to have all these things going on and have new collections in there, but always keep in mind that you have to sell those items as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think you have to, if you can combine both,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and you have like very keen on your budgeting, so it's how you're buying as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So like I'm not buying for seasons. I'm doing buying on a cash flow basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is what I'm doing. Maybe this helps me like be in a balance and still have the opportunity to take some new things in, to take some risks as well, because it's always like accountable risk then in
yeah.
a way. Yeah.
So wait, I mean, going back for a minute, like what made you want to leave this financial world and start something new? Was that something that was always inside of you or?
Yeah. I mean, I used to work in like little boutiques when I was like studying.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it was the point that working with people,
mm-hmm.
because sitting the whole day in front of a computer and like punching, crunching numbers. Yeah.
Yep.
And then I started with a project within the company and I started working with people. And then I realized that I really love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved over to Vienna And I changed the company, and I think it was the point that I didn't like the new company that much. And I quit, I think, like after 3 weeks, and I found that space. Yeah, so.
But when you quit your job, you knew that you were going to be starting
Yes,
this
it
clothing
was really like
store.
quitting the job, and then I signed I signed the space. Yeah, and just like I think 3 months later or 4 months later, we open it. Yeah.
Did people think you were kind of crazy?
Oh
Like,
yes. Oh yes, for sure.
so, like, who? Family or?
Family, of course, my parents, because for them it was really difficult. You know, I was studying, and actually, I was the first one who was studying in our family. Yeah, and I had a really good job, and I did the next step, you know, and everything was settled, you know. And then just from one day to the other, I just quit my job, and I said, and actually, it took me a while to tell it to my father. And yes, and yeah, and then, you know, and everybody, like, really.
But I hear that it's funny because I hear this a lot. I mean, first of all, with my husband quitting American Express and joining Tibi, I mean, his parents, they were like, no way did we, escape Czechoslovakia. We got you here. You got educated. You're working at this blue chip, top 100 company. And now, in their words, you're going to the schmaltz business. They were like, you're kidding me. And I just think it was the worst thing for them. And I see that too with when I first started Tibi, my first 10 years, it was really impossible to hire someone who was first generation in the United States because their parents got there and they were like, no way. Are you, we got all the way to America. You're not going into fashion. You're finance, medical, but not fashion. So that's interesting that, because where did you grow up?
I mean, grow up in Germany. I'm born in Istanbul, but grow up in Germany. And of course, my parents, like, the same, you know, they took the advantage to go to Germany and have a better life for their kids. Yeah. And yeah, and then, you know, studying and growing up there and doing all these development, the steps and everything, you know, and then
Because you did
same.
everything the way you were
Yes, of
supposed
course, you
to.
know, it was exactly like what they were expecting.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it doesn't feel right for me. Yeah. And there was as well this point that I did this project within the company, and I realized that, like, being kind of self-employment, doing what I really want to do, yeah, it is like what I am. So it, you know, I have the freedom to do whatever I want, yeah.
Did you feel like, okay, if I try fashion and if it's not fashion, it will just be something else, but no matter what, it will be about self-employment? Like, had you set your target on that?
No, it was really fashion. I mean, I never like thought about doing a career in fashion, like going to study kind of, yeah. But I was always like interested in dressing people and, you know, trying something new out. And even when I was like having presentation within the company, I was never dressed up in a full suit. It was always completely different than what the rest was wearing, like not a dress or something like that. And I think, yeah, fashion, it was always,
Your thing.
yeah.
Your thing. So when, okay, so you're breaking into fashion, right? It's a tight-knit club. Like it's a very protective, like, cabal
Yes.
of people. Like, what was it like the first time you went to these fashion weeks and you're trying to meet with these designers and bring in new designers into your store?
You know what was my first experience, yeah, in this like fashion industry? I was sitting, like, it was in Berlin. I really remember it, yeah. It was in Berlin, my first fashion week over there, yeah. To that time we had this kind of, you know,
I remember there used to be
yeah.
Berlin Fashion Week,
Yeah. And I was sitting there and waiting that the show is starting, and then a woman came over to me, and there was still some space next to me. She was looking at me. I said, "Oh, can I sit there?" And I was looking at her, I was laughing. I said, "Of course, it's free. You can sit there." And she was looking and said, "You are smiling." And I said, yeah, I'm not supposed to smile, or like, and said, yeah, you know, in fashion industry, people are not smiling that much. And this is what I really, that was my first experience.
Yes.
But from then on, no, it's, I think it changed a lot as well. It's not that it was in the beginning,
Yep.
yeah.
So when was 17 years ago? This is like 2008 or so.
Yes.
So you opened, okay, well, this
2000.
is during the financial crisis
Yes.
time in America,
Yeah.
not worldwide,
No.
but ripple
It
effects,
was
I'm sure.
2008. Yeah, we started 2007 and really opening was 2008, yeah. Yeah. So and then we had like I think a year or not fully year, and then we had like a big constructions going on in front of our store that was like for I would say about 2 years then, and I was like really scared about it, just open it, yeah. And it was weird because, you know, people were like, how do you go to do that? I mean, you just open the doors and said, yes, I mean, what else should I do? To that time, it was not that I was into like doing Instagram or those things. So I said, yes, of course, I'm just open the door and then see what's happening.
So when do you feel that you, when did you feel on a sure foot? Like, when did you feel like, you know what, I got this. This is working out.
When you mean
Right
when I will.
away? Did you feel that right away? Like from day one, were you like, you know what, this is a good decision. It's working out. Phew,
Actually,
I can sleep at night.
yes, actually, the first years was really good. I was happy. It was like it was working out. The
Can you
collection.
define good and what does working out mean to you?
I mean, just live like a quiet life. Let me say it this way. Yeah. So, I mean, to that time, we didn't have any kids. We were by ourselves. It was nice, you know. So, and it was growing. We had like,
And it was meeting your expectations
yes,
or
from day one. Yeah. So it was really like from day on, I could live from that store. Yeah. So it was not that I have to like invest more money in it or something like that. But I have to say, I was like sure and secure with who I am to that time. So that was really like the point where I was like, I felt safe to that time. And then there was like in between, like then we opened the second store after like 2 years. Yes, after 2 years, we opened the second store. And I have to say, to that time, we already had like our first child, like, and then we got
The second store.
the second store.
And
And I,
second child.
yes, so we opened on Thursday. I opened on Thursday the second store, and on Friday, we got our second child. So, and that was like where I would say a little bit of struggling started from then on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I, those were my most painful years, I think. You
Yep.
know, Gabriel was 2.5 years old. I just had Charlie. The business was, you know, anything but like smooth sailing, and you're traveling a lot and
It
you're
is.
stretched.
Yes, it was I can't, you know, I would never if someone would tell me or ask me, do you regret anything? And I would say, yes, I regret one thing. Yeah, one thing I regret. And like to that time, there was a gut feeling, yeah, and I didn't trust it. So I didn't trust it. So, and that's why I said I will never do something against my feelings. If I don't feel comfortable with it, I'm not going for it.
What was the actual thing that you regret?
The actual thing is that it was too early to open the store to that time. For me, it was too early. Yeah. So because I mean, I just signed again the contract for that space, and I think 2 or 3 weeks later, I just heard that I'm pregnant. Yeah.
Why did you feel the need to open a second store? Was it because what everyone does? I mean, if you open one store, your goal should be to open two. Is that?
Maybe yes, maybe yes, and that's maybe what I'm regretting too. It's like because, you know, I was happy and I was like everything was going. We just moved to another apartment, and I thought it's the right move to do it. Yeah, but I think it's good to do it. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a mistake, it's just another experience you did, yeah. I learned a lot out of it, yeah. And
Yeah, I think it's, when I do think about things that I regret, mistakes, whatever, I think not focusing so much on the actuality of what happened, you opened a second store, but focusing more on how many times when you drill deep, did you do something because you just somehow convinced yourself that it was the right thing to do, because everyone in the industry does it that way, because an investor told you you must scale, you must do this, and that ultimately, when I look back at the times when I was the least happy, it was because I was using all of these other things in the industry, people, things that they would say as my benchmark,
And that's you have that as well when you are just, I mean, when I'm talking with other buyers too, like it's a discussion we had all the other day, you know, when they were like, yeah, are you bringing something new in the store? And I said, what do you mean with new? It's, I mean, new brands. And I said, I don't know. Yes, I'm trying to find something, but I have to find something which is completely different to what I have already. So it's not like, you know, I'm exchanging, well, I'm just changing like one brand to the other, but actually it's the same vibe. So there's no need for it. Yeah. And
If you think about your business and where you are putting together a big puzzle, right? Like, it does need to be new to fit into the puzzle. Otherwise, things overlap and it doesn't fit. Did you always approach your store that way, or did you think about it in that way of everything kind of having a purpose and a place, or were you
No.
buying what you loved?
I mean, I think I do that now for several years now. I mean, in the past, I had kind of overlapping too, and I realized that by the end of the day, you were like selling, okay, you're selling these pants and you have like from the other brands almost the similar pants, so there's no need for it. I try to like see if those like items or brands, let me say brands, fit together in a way. Yeah, it can be completely different, yeah, but when I put it on, it must feel right in that moment, yeah, when I'm in the showroom as well, yeah.
So did you carry Tibby right from the beginning? I can't remember.
No.
When did you pick up Tibby?
I think it was like, I would say 3 or 4 years later. I mean, I just count it, just look it up, and it's 13 years now,
That
almost
we've
13
been.
years, yeah.
So I think what's interesting is that because we've stayed independent, Tibby, the brand has been able to evolve with me. Even if I will say that there were years where the brand did not look like me at all, the me back then was one who probably didn't know myself that well. I was asking others, what do you think? Am I doing this right? Blah, blah. And but I think that once I really kind of leaned into who I was and the brand evolved, you evolved with me, but I think it's because you and I are very similar and you were evolving as well. And so, you though, at the same time, you really let your store evolve. And we know that's where a lot of stores and a lot of brands fail, is because they create this identity and then it gets locked in. It gets locked in by investors, it gets locked in by the press. And if you change it, then that's bad. That means you don't know who you are. That means you're going off message. And what happens is, as humans, we all evolve naturally. I mean, we all do. So if you lock yourself in, you stay in a decade or you stay in a couple of years. In the meantime, your customer is evolving.
Of course.
And they've moved on and you're not moving on with them because you haven't allowed yourself to be human. So, I mean, I'm sure that plays a big role into why you're still here today, because you're putting yourself into it all the time.
That is really important, yeah. So it's not that you're building like brand Schneeweiß or the store by Schneeweiß, and then you're trying to squeeze everything in what's in
into
there.
that like code.
No, it's not working like that, because I mean, we just like published an article about how my style, you know, like evolved during all this time. And when you see these pictures from the past, yeah, I mean, it's funny. Yeah. When I see, I mean, there are some items I said, oh, this look, this, I would wear it today as well. But there are so many pieces in there. I would like
no, it's
not even touch it anymore. Yeah. But that's okay. It was good to that time.
Yeah.
And it's the same for like for a store, and it's the same for your customers. Yeah. So because they have as well, like different steps, different like.
Yeah. When, I mean, it's for me, I had to do a harder pivot on the way the brand looked. But the question I got the most often in the press was, they said, what was it like trying to attract this new audience? And I said, you know, the thing is, when I started Tibby, and it was all based on things that were like very creative and interesting, but still minimalist at the same time. When I got into the demands of what the department stores wanted from me, I actually lost my original customers. And so once we came back to designing from me, I gained back my original customers. They were like, thank you for evolving, because we evolved. And, you know, when I got trapped in that world of all the prints, I lost people. And I think people get confused that they think sometimes if you evolve and change that you will lose a big swath of people, but really you bring them with you because you're all changing together as humans do.
Yes, and that's the point. Maybe it takes a little bit until they get the point, or that's okay. That's totally fine, yeah? But I mean, like when you do that, yeah, so you are like trying to bring something new in there, and it takes some time for the customer to catch it, to see it, yeah? But when you trust yourself and trust what you're doing, and not like, yeah, count on each and every single, like, I don't know, so meaning or, you know, on other persons, yeah, then it's really good. And you see that this is working out. Yeah. And that was like important for me to see that. That's why I'm doing my buying by myself.
Yeah.
So people are asking when I'm in showrooms, are you alone? I said, yes, I'm alone. So there's, you don't have an assistant or, I said, no, I'm doing all by myself.
That's right. You do come in alone. How much of what you do is simply about acting from your gut and what you love and knowing that it will all work out versus a real like preordained 1 year financial plan? I'm going to grow by this much. Second year, I'm going to grow by X amount. Like, how much is intuitive versus really working towards an end financial goal?
90-10.
Yeah. Because, and do you find that intuition just lands you in the best place usually?
I think so, yeah. Because I mean, like, you know, I can have this expectation and do my business plan for a year or for the next 2 years. But then there's always something coming up. And this is like the point where you have to react on it. Yeah. So.
And when you say something coming up, do you mean something completely unanticipated? Like something, because I mean, I would say the last 6 years have been a whirlwind of things that are unanticipated that could never be on a business plan. Like in 2019, we weren't like, well, when a gigantic pandemic hits, we will do X, Y, Z.
Yeah, but actually, you know, that was the point. I mean, like that was when, I mean, I was sitting there like 2-3 weeks. I mean, a lot of white wine, red wine, whatever. And then I start like my business, I wouldn't say like from scratch on, but I completely changed it then. Yeah. I already start a year before, like with new brands and what I'm buying and how I'm buying. But then I like completely changed it within the pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Started as well with the online shop.
So before 2020, did you have an online
No,
business or?
no. I mean, we had like, no, not really.
And so the pandemic truly was like a big push
It
into
was a,
that for you.
yeah, it was a big push, and it was like for me, to step out of my comfort zone. Yeah. So it was really like I had to.
Step out of your comfort zone, meaning that you had to get on places like on social media and
Exactly.
start
Yes.
talking.
Social media stopped, then all these things. Then, of course, this online. I mean, I'm like, I would say a very private person. Yeah. If, yeah, I'm not like into having my a private account and like showing all my life. Yeah. So that's why for me, I was doing Instagram and I was doing all these things, but not like as we are doing it today. Yeah.
Because I remember you were in particularly one who you and I were DMing a lot.
Yes.
You know, how are things going? Are you shut down? Like, we were using each other a lot as a sounding board for what's happening out there. And I remember, and like April, May of 2020, reposting just all these DMs that I had back and forth with
That's
you,
true.
because even for our followers on Instagram at the time, it was very new and novel to think about a designer speaking so directly with another store in a different country, getting myriad viewpoints about what was going on.
But I think that is like that is the point or the big part why this is like kind of working out, yeah. We are talking, which is important, yeah. So when I'm within the industry, like sometimes you are like within a showroom, you're talking with designers or you're talking with the salesperson, but they don't even want to listen to it when you have to say something, yeah. And to listen what someone is telling you. I mean, you don't have to take everything, yeah, but just listen to it and see if is there anything, yeah. And this is important. And you do that with your customers, you do that with your stores. And I have to do that as well with like with all my customers. Yeah, I have to be really careful. Is it like what they're looking for? Like which point in their life they are, what they are like want to have next, all these things. And it's really important to have that in your mind when you're going out and do your next buying or doing the next steps within the business. Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember pre-COVID, when a store would come in, they would speak very much about specific customers. So if two or three buyers came in for a specialty store, I would hear them at the table and they would say things like, "Well, Margaret always needs something for the American Red Cross
Yeah.
ball, and Julie always needs something for her business travels." And it was very specific, you know, like
Yes.
they were really almost doing custom orders for people at that point. And I think what happened during COVID is when these DMs started flooding in from customers, it helped me bucket people out, like, okay, who are the Julies that really have a lot of business meetings, but that they also need to be able to travel? And to, you know, like it let me classify the different lifestyles that people have and what. And then I was allowed, you know, I was able to compare them to my own lifestyle and then bring that into what I was designing. And I'm sure for you, buying at that bigger level, that was important to be able to do for the first time, really hear from such a range of people.
Yeah, and no, it's like this is the point because I mean, I know that some stores are still doing this. I mean, we do that as well. So we have like some customers who are like really looking for some specific items. That's okay. I'm totally happy with that. That's perfect, yeah. But I have like a specific customer in my mind, and if somebody is coming into my store, I want to be sure that they know what they get. Like not exactly the piece, but let me say the vibe they are looking for. And I would say I'm pretty sure those customers, they like the same kind of restaurants, they like the same kind of vacations, hotels. And that's why like many of them are asking me as well, and I'm like, oh, do you have like recommendations for restaurants or like a nice place to stay? All these things, yeah. And you have like a community, and it's not that, okay, this woman needs to like Louisa needs that dress or that pants, or
No, that
it's
is, it's the absolute definition of a community.
yeah.
And it's because people are coming to you. I mean, I think if they're looking to you for clothing advice, then it's standing to reason that you would be able to direct them in the right place for a restaurant or for even a book to read
Yeah.
or whatever, you know. But this is unexpected, right? Like, this could not have been in the plans when you were starting your store.
I mean, it was not maybe really the plan, but it was really like looking, when I started with it, I was looking for people who have kind of maybe the same mindset, yeah. But due to the fact that I was like, have to go my path in my life too, yeah. I have to find myself as well, yeah. Of course, you were like trying out some things and you were trying out some looks, yeah. And now you reached a point where you are like feel safe and secure, but not safe that you're just laying back and doing nothing. You feel safe in what you're doing, you feel safe in what you are like, you're comfortable with it. And this is where you want to like teach or bring your customers to be comfortable what you're doing, what you're wearing, where you're going, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, you're talking about the mindset in terms of how you view your customers, right? And when during the pandemic, one of the things that we had to do as a company was really decide, was everything worth fighting for, right? Because I'm sure you were going through that too. Like, do you close up shop, cut bait and run? And for us, one of the things that we felt that was critical in order for us to move forward was that we would only work with people who really shared our mindset. And we didn't mean just the people buying the clothing. We meant the people that we are selling our clothing to, like a store. And of course, there were a lot of stores that did not make the cut. All the American department stores did not make that cut. But you very much made the cut. And when we were trying to look at who are the people that we perform the best with, it was people who really had a lot of skin in the game. They were people who kind of felt like our success was so intertwined. And I remember Frank and Elaine and I sitting around and being like, Schneebies, she is not an owner that just phones it in. Because remember during COVID, or maybe you don't even know, but like we would call stores and we would ask to speak to the owner, and they're like, she's going to be in 6 months, for in St. Bart's for 6 months. So she's going to ride it out in Palm Beach. And you were like, fuck, man, I want to go to, Cap Ferrat and ride it out, but that's not life, right? And so there were people though who were like really in it, and you were so in it. And I remember, like, right, Wendy at Kickplate, she was in it, like you had to keep your business afloat, you were doing smart things. And I found that, like, when I was getting DMs from people all over the world, I could send Europeans your way. Like they started writing me and they're telling me, like, I love, thank you for hooking me up with Yasmin,
Thank
and
you.
this is great. And I mean, that was just such a strange turn of events.
Yes.
And here we find ourselves today with something very exciting
To share.
to share. So I think what I love is the beauty of just going at something really hard or even soft, but not really knowing where it will land. And but knowing that you just kind of trust in the process. And what we found was working together over these last couple of years,
Yes.
after receiving DM after DM from people who are saying, I feel like Schneeweiss is Tibby's home in Europe, right?
Thank you.
You're now setting up our home in Europe.
That's true. So we are like setting up it's good. Yeah, it's a home for TB in Europe. That's good actually, because we are not setting up a proper store. We have really like a private
That's
space.
wait, right? Because that's how it started, was I called you and I was like, freaking just get rid of all your other brands. Just carry Tibby.
Yeah.
And you were like,
It doesn't feel right. I told you, because it was not like it because I just realized when people are coming over to us, they want to be have like they want to kind of have privacy as well. Yeah. So yeah, that was like I had that in my mind actually for quite a long time, to have this space where you can just step in, you know, have
So to
like
set the stage here, you came back like a
yeah.
month later, because I came
Yeah.
to you. I'm like, just get rid of everyone, just carry Tibby. And you were like, that's not my dream. But I was like, could you put the dream on hold for a little while? But you came back and you said, I have an idea. Why don't I rent a beautiful apartment in the middle of Vienna?
Yes, and we have it.
And you have it.
Yes.
And you said, we'll just make it like a Tibby home, fill it up with Tibby and bring people there when they come in from, I mean, because you have people come in from London,
Everywhere,
from
yeah.
Australia, from everywhere.
Yeah.
And then they come to see you.
They come to see us, they come to see the brand, they have they just want to have a good time. So that's why, yeah, we have like this really beautiful apartment in the middle of Vienna, just very close to the store, yeah. Yeah, we will have like the home for TB in there. We will have almost I think the whole collection in
You'll
there.
have the whole collection there.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, and you'll really be able to send out packages as well.
We will
It's
do
like,
that, yes. So because we experienced that, like, of course, like some of you can't come over, so we will have it on our platform. You will find the whole collection in there. We will do as well all these private shopping things with like you can call us, you can send us DM, what we are doing anyway.
But just in a bigger scale in a small private
Private, yeah.
environment.
Yes.
I get my Vienna
And
apartment.
actually, yes, this is your, I know, that's your
My
Vienna
Vienna
apartment.
dream.
Yeah,
My
oh,
husband's dream, actually. He's
yeah.
going to run down to eat pastries all day.
Yeah.
And so we are going to be officially kind of launching it September 30th, like
It
right
will
before
be,
Paris Fashion
yes,
Week.
so the official like launch will be September 30th, and but we will start, of course, with like private appointments or step in. I think like first week of September. Right now we have to like build the space a little bit. Then in I think in first week of September, maybe second week of September, we are ready to like book in the
Start
private
taking appointments.
apartments. Yes, yeah. Or you can call us, and we will stay within the apartment, and we can show you around, and we can show you all the pieces, try it on, and so you can make your selection as well, like that. And yeah, so the official launch will be then 30th of September, right before Paris Fashion Week. Yeah.
So I love that, you know, this is really new
Yes.
because it's not licensing. It's not
No.
like a Tibby store with like a package of a build out or anything. Like, it's truly something that I think could only have been born with two people that have been working together for a long time and just trust each other. And we're like, let's just
Yeah.
see where this goes.
And it was funny because, you know, when we, of course, we have kind of a paper together. Yeah, sure. But I was handed over to my husband and I said, can you just have a look, you know, because he's more into that. Yeah. And also he was reading through and I said, you know what? It seems okay, but this paper is like two people trust each other. So it is like that. And it's good. It feels good. Yeah. And actually, it is what it is. So we both don't know where we're ending up with this like
We don't, but I think that, you and I talk about this a lot. Like sometimes also when you're doing something, it's important to establish like what's your break-even point? What is the thing that will make it not worth it, And I don't like to lose money, Like I tend to be focused on not losing money so much, but not so much on like how much money has to be made, because I feel like anything above it is all like proof of concept and you lean in harder,
But that's the point, because when you're like, this is when you're losing money, this gives you some, it's not good. It gives you
No,
bad vibrations.
you
So, and
sleep
that's
at,
why,
you stay awake at night, then you lose a little bit, and then you imagine what if like the floodgates
Exactly.
open,
So,
like,
and this is
yeah.
like my advice when somebody is asking me to open a shop, and I said, just be careful what you're buying. So don't lose money.
Yeah.
It's just a point that just don't lose money. The rest will come up, but don't lose money.
Don't lose money.
And then the rest, you will see it.
Yeah.
And it will work out in a way, but that's the most important thing, because this gives you negative vibe, and then you are like frustrated, and then you have these fears in you, so you're not going to take the
Yeah.
next step. And this is like critical point then.
I really this whole fixation with the break even and baby steps, big steps, but also if you're walking above break even, you tend to be walking on solid ground, right? Everything below it is mush. It's not solid ground. And I really thought that it was something pretty unique, maybe to me and to my husband, because Frank is very, I don't want to say he's risk averse, but he'd prefer not to take a big risk, like if
Really?
you can avoid it. Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. I think that, yeah, I think he's, Frank's background, escaping a communist country, the experiences of his parents, when we talk about like what's the worst that could happen in life, he has some pretty solid
So, yes.
visuals, experiences of what the worst
Of
can
course.
is, I don't, I'm very healthy, loving parents alive and well, and never had to leave a country. You've been through a lot, like, so I think that, it tightens you
Of course.
a bit, right? And so, but as unique as I thought that it was to us, I keep finding it in more and more of the people that I talk to who have had successful long-term businesses. I'm sure it's a different thing if I were speaking to someone who's had a big spike, down spike, but for those that really value a feeling of contentment and ease, kind of peace with their life, that break even is a really critical thing to them. And staying above it, knowing where it is. Yeah, it's high.
It's I mean, it is the point, that's what I was telling before. I mean, I was above that, it was like really for a while, and that's why I'm saying it's when you know where you have to lie and stay and you feel safe, that's good. And then you can go out and try something new and try something different.
Because when we talked about doing the Schneeweis Tibi apartment with you, that was the thing. Elaine and Frank and I, back in the meeting room with ourselves, we kept saying, what's the worst that could happen? And then, I love to focus on what the best is that could happen, but kind of just laying out what's the worst that could happen just lets you enjoy the ride, figure out the best later. But,
I
it's
mean,
good to
that's
know the
how,
worst.
yeah, I mean, like, but that's how we were, like, we are both on the same level. So that was easy to talk about this topic then with you, because we knew, like, we have to like stay on one specific point. And it was like from the beginning on, both sides were like the same. Like we both like, well, we have to be secure in a way, and the rest will come.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can build the rest. But I mean, this is, it feels good. It feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels right to have this separate space and to have this separate, home for TB there, and still do what I did like the last 17 years still. Yeah.
Yes, because I think, I mean, I see, you know, your hesitancy when I asked you.
Yeah.
Because I was serious about turning your store into a TB store. But I think this allows you to gain something without having to give anything up. You can, it's additive rather than, you know, getting rid of something that you, as you said, had worked
and
so like, hard for.
Exactly. And it was like, you know, when I was talking about, I opened the second store, it wasn't the right time to that time.
Yeah.
And now people were asking me, why are you doing this? I mean, you said you will never open a second space or store or whatever. And I said, yeah, but this is completely
It's different.
This is different and this feels right and it's the right moment and the right partnership, I would say. So it feels right and so it's I'm fine with that. And I think it's really good and people will enjoy to go in there. I like some of the customers already knew it and so they were really looking forward to, And even if you are like really physical in the space or just like having a Zoom call or whatever, but it feels right to have this space in there and to build like the stronger community. Yeah.
No, I think it, I think that that is the exciting thing is that we both seem to be at a place where we can do these things that I am sure to a lot of people in the industry don't make sense, might be nonsensical. And they are certainly things that would not have been on a business plan a year and a half ago. And it feels good to be in this place.
I think so. It really feels good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you for the conversation here. And I'll see you in Vienna. In September.
Yeah.
And we're going to have our Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, yeah.
And those dumpling things with the sour cherries.
Yeah. It's Kaiserschmarrn.
Kaiserschmarrn.
Yes, Kaiserschmarrn.
Oh, my God.
We will have it. Good. We will have it, yeah.
I can't wait.
For sure.
Amazing. Yeah. Great. Cheers.
Thank you.